Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we have a continuation of the digital signatures discussion. Based on that discussion, we may want to discuss alternatives for the digital signature stuff and talk about the coordination plan, basically who's going to be working on what documents and how are we going to inject them into the web payments IG for consideration or some other set of groups at W3C for consideration. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else that we should talk about today? Okay. If there are no other updates or changes to the agenda, let's go ahead and jump into the second topic, which is a continuation of last week's discussion. Nate, just remember to put the person's name, colon, and then what they said. That way the scribe bot will pick up and auto-link and do all that stuff. Okay, digital signatures. So hopefully everyone's been able to see the email thread that broke out about the digital signatures discussion. Mainly it was a posting to the social web working group. It was somebody that was in the credentials CG is also in the social web working group and linked our conversation over there, and that got some of the Jose Web Crypto folks to chime in on the direction. So at this point, I'm not going to say anything about the discussion. I think one, because I'm too close to it. Or primarily because I'm too close to it, I think what we need is for everyone on the call to at least provide their opinion about what they think happened and what they think the path forward should be at this point. And then we can have some discussion after everyone kind of gives their opinion. So would anyone like to start out your read on that thread and digital signatures in general for credentials?
I'll go first. I'm newer to the W3C. This is Brian Slutton, by the way. I guess I probably have more questions than comments. Hopefully we can use that as a jumping out point. I would like to know a little bit more about the history. Harry referred to a review that was done by somebody about the secure messaging thing. So if we could get a little bit of discussion on that, just kind of catch up on where we've been. And was what the implications are as far as if the CG just says for linked credentials, we want linked signatures, you know, what does that mean as far as adoption and coexistence maybe with Jose, and you know, if there is that much pushback from other people at the W3C, what are the likelihoods of these ideas moving forward as they are? So that's those are the kinds of things that I'd like to discuss a little bit if possible.
I have a quick comment. As I remember, the security review that Harry's referring to, at least what he linked to, this is Dave Longley.
Thanks.
What I remember from what he linked to was just a couple of emails that were responding in a very high level of someone that had skimmed over the secure messaging spec. To give some context, the secure messaging spec was kind of thrown out there as a quick draft of the basic ideas behind how we could do secure messaging in a much simpler way than the Jose stack provides. The main goals were to use a linked data format and to specify a single required cryptographic operation for encrypting the data that goes across for encrypting data messages and a single one for signing messages. Now, I think some of the response to that was to come in and think that we had this full-blown, finalized spec where tons of thought had gone into the exact algorithm that was selected versus just deferring to the cryptographic community for making the best choice and that sort of thing. So the immediate response was, oh, the algorithm you picked is not good enough. You should have been picking a newer one. You know, what we had picked originally was to get this secure messaging spec sort of working and implemented. We picked something that was very, very common and available in a variety of different programming languages. Specifically, we picked something that used cipher block chaining mode, and because it was available in both PHP and JavaScript and a number of different languages at the time that we wrote the spec. The alternative that was suggested is uses a new mode for relatively new mode for encryption called GCN, and that stands for Galois counter mode.
Right,
the only reason it's called GCN is all you need to describe. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, and that was only released, say, on Windows platforms a week ago.
Right. It's very new. And it's in fact, the PHP implementation, the last time I checked, doesn't even work quite right because you can't get access at the authentication part of that algorithm. But regardless, the only reason that I'm kind of saying what the acronyms stand for is because they looked at that and they said, or somebody looked at that and they said, CBC, that's no good. You have no idea what you're doing. Also, Manu had a typo in his email that said, I think, cyclic blockchaining instead of cipher blockchaining, which probably just, you know, brain fart on Manu's part, completely irrelevant. And they said, well, you're clearly an amateur, and this spec should be ignored. That was kind of the attitude that was put forth in the what I guess Harry's referred to. I don't know if he even referred to it as a security review. I know he said there were a bunch of sort of beginner crypto errors or something to that effect. But the specification itself is about the container format and a way of expressing in linked data encrypted messages. It's not about choosing the correct algorithm. It's about just saying, let's have one algorithm that people use to make it really easy for implementations and use linked data and a sort of mechanism to allow people to extend it to use whatever they want to in their domain space, which is a different approach from Jose, which says the specification goes through a centralized gatekeeper and every possible crypto algorithm will be implemented and available, and here's everything. And if you want to use something else, you have to go through the standardization process or the IETF extension process to do something different. And that's just a fundamentally different philosophical approach that we took with secure messaging. And the actual security problems that they had with the spec really had very little to do with the work that we were concerned about. Swapping out and using a different crypto algorithm is totally fine. That's sort of an orthogonal issue. I don't want to say that it's orthogonal issue to a spec that's designed to make things more secure. I mean, it's called secure messaging. You're supposed to be creating secure messages, so it's important that we choose the right algorithm. But I think that the point was being missed, and it was an easy way to sort of snipe the spec down and dismiss it. So that was my view of what Harry's talking about when he says security review, or whatever it is he said.
Okay, that doesn't sound like really much substantial pushback, or
right.
any serious issues or anything. So
yeah, it seemed like it was an easy way to sort of dismiss it and say, come back when you're more serious. Is how I viewed it anyway.
Also, keep in mind, just very very quickly to clarify, one who just joined the call, you dialed in about a minute ago.
Yeah, this is Dale McCrory.
Hey, Dale.
From Course Load on the educational technology side of things.
We'll do an intro to you, Dale, in a second, because I think it's important that the group knows who you are. We're right in the middle of a very involved discussion right now about digital signatures and credentials. Let's see. Just two quick points. We have never submitted the secure messaging spec to the IETF for security review, period. what we did was we wrote up the problems with Jose and provided an alternative spec and said, you know, this is how we'd like the Jose group to, this is the direction we'd like the Jose group to go in. But at no point have we ever submitted anything for IETF for security review. And so the idea that we have been rejected is completely false. So just making that point in there. Does anyone else have any comments? Brian has said a few things. Dave Longley, I don't know if you were done or...
I have a lot more to say, but if someone wants to go first, they should go first.
Okay.
Hi, this is Eric. So I can't speak from the technical aspects as much as the as some of the people who are on this call, but from our Credit Trust perspective is we see JSON-LD as a key technology for describing credentials. And what we want is the simplest way and the most effective way to sign JSON-LD data. And so as there were some postings along the way through this thread, there was a mention, I can't remember exactly who did it, maybe Manu could remember, but he said, why can't I just sign, you know, LD with LD? And that to me just seems so obviously the answer. So, you know, I for me and from our perspective for a credit trust, we feel that we want to stay as native in our format as possible. So I'm looking for the solution that does that in the most simplest yet secure way. So what I believe is what's driving our motivation is to stay with the core technologies and stay that way. And if we and if secure messaging delivers that, then that's what we're in favor of doing.
We just lost our scribe. I'll go ahead and scribe
okay.
While other people talk.
All right. I was just going to...
I have no other comment.
Okay. I was just going to chime in and agree with that and say that, in general, that's my biggest problem with the Jose approach. So sort of my view of the Jose approach is that Jose sets out to create a container format for a blob of information that's signed. And what that does is it makes the data opaque. You can't look at the data or work with it in a native format as in its signed form. And that's sort of a problem that runs through that has a lot of knock-on effects, some of which Manu has addressed in his emails. One of them, for example, I'll just go down sort of a quick list of problems that arise from that haven't necessarily been covered already. One of them is, since you don't store the signed data itself in JSON, then you can't access the data itself and transmit it in a native JSON format. You can transmit a Jose container that has a blob of data in there, but the data itself is just a blob of Base64 text. It can't be turned back into JSON and transmitted that way, because native JSON parsers and serializers could inadvertently invalidate the signature. And that's because they specifically tried to avoid canonicalization of the data format in the actual algorithm for signing. So this also means that you can't use certain document stores or their indexing features, such as MongoDB, on the signed data itself, because you can't work with it as JSON. You'll lose the you'll lose the cryptographic properties. So again, it has to be stored as Base64 because the native parsers might change the JSON, and that will invalidate the signature. And because you have to do this, you have to do double data storage for any signed data, depending on your application needs. Because the signing algorithm doesn't specify how the data should be serialized, we have to preserve the data using whatever serialization was used originally, because that's how it was signed. So your data simply doesn't function in the same way that native JSON does once it's signed. Furthermore, you can't easily talk about the signature itself using linked data with this approach, because it's all wrapped up in this binary Base64 blob. The actual data itself is in there, and the data container for it is not using linked data. So you can't say so-and-so created the signature using triples or using linked data, using the linked data data model. So in general, it's harder to get at the data in a Jose signed document than it is to get at it with the approach secure messaging takes. And the fact that it's hard to get at the data with Jose reminds me of ASN.1, which is abstract syntax notation number one, which is what's currently used by most crypto applications today. In fact, one of the reasons that Jose exists was to replace the ASN.1 approach. The major problem that the Jose group identified with ASN.1, or at least one of the major problems, was its complexity to implement, which I completely agree with. One conclusion that they drew is that it's hard to implement because it requires canonicalization. I think that was the wrong conclusion. Instead, the problem is with how serialization of ASN.1 is designed and implemented, which gets way down into the technical weeds, but I'll just say this. There are a lot of different rules to follow for all of the various different data structures that are supported. It's a lot more complicated than a number of different text formats. ASN.1 is also very difficult to extend, which further complicates implementations. Every extension requires a new domain-specific parser where there's a new structure that has to be understood, including a variety of different idiosyncrasies. So, for example, there's something called PKCS7 that has signed messages. So you could create a digitally signed message and transport it using this sort of ASN.1 approach. And that spec requires that messages be canonically serialized for transport using different data structures. But you have to tweak the data structures from the ones that are actually canonically serialized for signing. So what you sign and what you transport are different, but you're still using a canonicalization algorithm. Don't spend a lot of time thinking about that because you shouldn't have to. So all of that is to say that in the ASN.1 space, canonicalization is difficult to implement because the rules are wide-ranging and extensibility is hard. The Jose stack avoids this problem by removing canonicalization entirely, but that itself introduces a new set of problems, which are all the ones that we've been mentioning. So the secure messaging spec tries to keep the advantages of a canonicalization algorithm, but addresses the other problems with ASN.1. So we don't have the same level of implementation complexity as the ASN.1 canonicalization or its various serializations, whilst not losing the benefits of how to serialize the data. So you can still serialize your data in a variety of different syntaxes and preserve a signature because we have canonicalization, which Jose does not provide, but the way that data is serialized and how that algorithm is written is sort of one-off. You don't have to keep having to re-implement different pieces to make the thing work. And you don't have to have a domain-specific parser for every market vertical that's out there for their different messages. So the main benefit is that only the meaning of the data is effectively what's signed, and that's what has to be preserved. The specific syntax that you transmit the data with is irrelevant. And so that's why you want a canonicalization algorithm. You just don't want one that requires constant work, and that's very difficult to understand and implement. The actual underlying serialization format in the RDF normalization algorithm, which is what we use via secure messaging, is actually a very simple text format known as N-quads. So it's a technical detail, but the text format, the format for actually serializing data that is going to be signed, that's buried sort of inside of the RDF normalization algorithm, is a very simple algorithm and format to understand. And you don't need to extend anything. It uses the RDF data model, and it's done. You implement this algorithm, the normalization algorithm, once, and it works. And so the point is that it gets nowhere near the complexity of ASN.1 and its what's called a distinguished encoding rules, its DER encoding, and the variety of problems that exist there. But it does not also just eliminate the canonicalization algorithm entirely, which is what Jose did to get rid of the problem. So with secure messaging, you get the benefit of being able to see your data in your native syntax, which we care about in this space as JSON-LD, but you still get signatures. You still get linked data. Linked data is a first-class citizen, and I think that's what we want when we're talking about signing linked data. We want the data to remain as linked data, and we want it to be a first-class citizen. We don't want to silo things off into these Base64 blobs that now have to be either double-stored or decoded to actually see and work with the data, which messes up document stores and other varieties of things that I've mentioned before. So that is sort of my main complaint about the Jose stack.
Thanks, Dave. Anyone else have thoughts on high-level thoughts or low-level thoughts on the digital signatures discussion, the conversation with W3C, what it means for process, the technology itself?
Hey, Manu, this is Nate. Go ahead. I can talk after you go.
No. After you, Nate. I'll scribe for you.
Okay. I've been trying to look at open badges that were issued by many different issuers over time, and one of the problems that has caused me the most headaches in this process is when I'm expecting to read JSON data and I come across a big blob, a string instead. Hardly anyone uses digital signatures, which we currently have in the Jose stack. But like a couple different fields changed from strings into JSON objects at one point in the specification. And so one of the things that really like threw a lot of errors into my code was when I was expecting something to be an object and came across with a string. And so I feel that's kind of similar with expecting linked data and coming across a Base64 encoded blob instead.
We may have lost Nate's audio. Nate, are you still there?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm done.
That's done. Okay.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say about that is Harry made the point that there are plenty of Base64 decoders and people can use those. And that's certainly true. You can add more tools into the tool chain to be able to actually work with your data. And you can sort of mix and mash these things into your code to make it work. Or you could just avoid that, which I think is our point.
Well, this is Chris McAvoy. So to kind of echo what Nate was saying, we ran into a lot of problems in the badges project, including the signature as a wrapper. It was difficult for users to implement, and it made the data more difficult to index, especially because we had to store the signature as a separate piece, and it was easy to see the two pieces get separated and just made them less portable in our opinion. So we actually went down the path of making up our own solution of including the signatures in the body. And the way we really ended up with JSON-LD is that it all already existed. The thing that really attracted us to it is everything that Dave was saying, that serialization is solved. You can index the full badge with the signature included without having to separate out the two, and we just saw that as a huge bonus for the community and would just really make it a lot easier for them to implement it. So I think it's an important discussion, but I'd say the reason that we're here and on the call is largely because of we want to be able to sign badges and in a way that is a little bit easier to index and make portable.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Let's see. Anyone else on the call that would like to make comments about the digital signatures discussion so far?
So I'll jump in with a couple of other points quickly. To some extent, it seemed like the pushback was driven by not technical issues, but more procedural issues, perception, you know, like this was being presented as a standard when it isn't, that this was really just part of a community group and not actually part of a working group. And to some extent, that seems to sort of like diminish the entire reason for having a community group, is to explore technical issues that are not currently met by the standards or approaches. And so, you know, it's a little, I'm trying to think of a non-offensive word. I can't, so it's just lame to establish a community group process and then say, oh, but you're not an actual group, so, you know, what you say doesn't really matter. So to some extent, I'm curious if my understanding of the community group process is skewed, or it really is intended to be kind of a playground to come up with suggestions to address things at a technical level that are not being addressed at the working group level. And so, I mean, is this the point of the community group, I guess is what I'm asking.
So does anyone else want to take that?
I was just going to jump in real quick. I was going to say that I think the entire reason community groups was created was with good intent to – this is Dave Longley speaking.
Who was asking the question then?
Brian Sletten.
That was Brian Sletten.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Brian.
Okay. I think the entire reason that community groups were created, it was with good intent, and it was to fill a void where there were people that had a lot of good technical advice and had a place to they had good technical advice. There was not an existing working group for a certain space, and it was a good way to go in and incubate ideas and prepare them to move them to an official space. It created an area to do important work that is not officially sanctioned yet, but allowed the work to be fast-tracked because a lot of work had been done front-running the technology and sort of experimenting with it and figuring out how things could be moved into the official space. I think that was absolutely the intent. I think that there are perhaps some people that view the community groups instead as sort of an outlet for people that aren't working in an official capacity, sort of an outlet to have them go off and do something, and then they sort of feel like because it's not official, the work should just entirely be dismissed, which defeats the purpose of doing those experiments and working with that technology and trying to speed up the standardization process. And I would expect that most people in W3C understand that there's great utility to having a community group do front running and work with the technology and experiment. I think there are some voices that, it's not just because I think it, it's because they've put these emails out. For instance, with Harry's email, it's almost disparaging to all of the work that gets put in by a community group to try and further the web. You know, we come in and we do this work and we try to create and good technologies and things that we can then pass off to the W3C so they can put their official stamp on it, tweak it, make it better. And I think that's what community groups are there for, and they serve a very important purpose. And I think every time that an email comes out that says, oh, well, that's just a community group, nothing they say matters, is damaging to W3C.
Just to echo Dave Longley's point, I know the people that created the community groups at W3C. I mean, it was mainly Ian Jacobs, who's the director of W3C Communications, that created community groups, along with Doug Sheppers and a couple other W3C staff contacts. They did it after W3C almost lost their flagship product, which is HTML. If people will remember, in the early 2000s, XHTML2 was kind of the golden child. That was what was going to end up replacing HTML4. And W3C put all of their effort behind XHTML2. And there was a splinter group headed by this guy named Ian Hickson and all the big browser manufacturers that felt W3C had taken the wrong approach, and so they created their own standards body. fork the spec, the HTML spec, and continued to develop it. And that basically became HTML5. And, you know, with hindsight now, we know that HTML5 was the right direction to take. And W3C was put in a position where they had basically lost credibility with the technical standards community, the global technical standards community, on their ability to actually pick the right path forward for the web. So it was only after there were, you know, threats of lawsuits and Microsoft basically said they're not going to join the HTML5 initiative unless W3C was involved, that the HTML5 work was then pulled back into W3C. So community groups are basically a way for W3C to allow experimental work to happen without having the blessing of all of their membership, because it takes a lot of time and energy to get that blessing. I mean, it takes, you know, years in some cases. JSON-LD was entirely created in a community group. Right. This, and it is a W3C standard, and the people that created it are on this call. So we have been through this process before. I'm sure Dave Longley and Dave Lane remember how nasty people were to us in the beginning when we proposed JSON-LD. You know, it was viewed as this, this crap specification that wasn't going anywhere, and you know, it was offensive that we were even proposing the specification, because it went against, you know, years and years of work that other W3C member companies had done. But in the end of the day, the thing that won out are the good ideas in the specification. That's one of the really beautiful things about W3C, is that it is fundamentally a meritocracy, and the best ideas win out overall. So I think fundamentally Harry's response as a W3C staffer reflects the type of thinking that W3C was doing in the XHTML2 days. It was, we have just put in a ton of work to get this specification done, meaning the Jose stack done with ITF, everybody singing kumbaya and claiming victory, and you, this small group who is in the minority, is trying to split the standard, split the specification, and effectively create trouble when you don't need to be. You should just adopt Jose because it solves your problem. And instead of actually talking about the technical issues, what we're seeing is a whole bunch of process issues being thrown in front of us, right? So this is not what's supposed to happen. That type of response from a W3C staffer is, I think, a wholly he's way out of line from my standpoint and my experience working with W3C. But that is happening because the secure messaging spec is a threat to the Jose spec, right? It's the, you know, at first they ignore you and then they make fun of you try to do character assassination, all that kind of stuff. I think that's what we're seeing right now. Now, we could very well be wrong, right? So I think you know, everyone that's worked on the secure messaging spec to this point is not claiming that we're absolutely right and this is definitely the way to go, but we do have a number of very solid arguments against Jose that we really have not had a chance to discuss in detail with the ITF and the Jose group. The email that we sent a year ago was an attempt to start that conversation, but the Jose group is so far down the standardization path that they can't really change direction in a major way at this point. It would prevent the, you know, specs from being finalized. And two, you know, when you're in a group for so long, it starts to become kind of an echo chamber. And so the idea that you have made a fundamental mistake in the specification that you've put together, you stop hearing that after a couple of years. So all that to say that, you know, the W3C community groups are meant to do exactly what we're doing, which is explore new technologies and propose technical solutions. The people in this group have been through this before. We have experienced exactly the same thing with JSON-LD, and we ended up with an official world standard through W3C. So we've been through this, and I think, you know, we're kind of seeing the same attitude again with the secure messaging stuff. So let's assume that we're wrong and secure messaging is a pile of crap and it should be thrown out. We can continue down the path that we're on and effectively swap Jose out. If we do that, we have all of the negative points that Dave Longley kind of outlined, but we still have the ability to digitally sign badges and credentials, right? The downside is what, you know, Chris McAvoy and Nate Otto have said, you know, we're back in the approach that, you know, that Badge Alliance took initially with respect to digitally signed credentials. So this doesn't mean, just because this discussion and this argument is happening, doesn't mean we can't have digitally signed credentials. It means that our path there is going to be a little more difficult. The other thing that I want to make very, very clear is that the only specification in our stack so far that has gotten a serious amount of pushback is just the secure messaging piece of it. It's not the graph normalization stuff. That is going to happen through W3C. We have the data activity lead saying that they want to have that happen at the beginning of next year. But the secure messaging spec is the point of, you know, the point of contention right now. So anyway, that's just a bit of background on kind of where we are right now. Let me kind of put a pin in that for right now. I want to get Dale McCrory to introduce himself to the group, and then maybe we can talk about potential ways forward after we do that. So, Dale, would you mind giving everyone an intro to yourself?
Sure. I gave an intro on an earlier conversation, or earlier call, but I work at CourseLoad as the Director of Product Management, and I replied to the thread on the JSON JWT approach and Jose, and just my past experience has been the principal platform manager, principal product manager of the platform at ExactTarget, which is a CourseLoad company, which is a Salesforce company, and I had built a significant Jose implementation there. So I was that's why I was curious to see the feedback and I'm a pragmatist as well. So I'm an enterprise pragmatist by nature. So just how does enterprise integration happen and how what's the ease of use that can be there, and I've seen the specifications of the WS Star stack, which are really flexible and have all sorts of capabilities, not get implemented across all the different technology platforms, even though they're super pluggable. They have lots of extensibility, so that's why I just would want to make sure we don't repeat a WS Star where there's, you know, lots more expression. There's a lot more expression that you can do in XML, but it lost out because it couldn't get implemented on all the platforms successfully. So that's the only feedback that I would have. But that's I'm primarily here because I'm interested in identity and higher education and how identity from students will transfer across their lifetimes.
Great, thanks, Dale.
So.
Okay, so let's see, digital signature, I guess this is strategy. So I guess if we don't have any other input on kind of the conversation that just happened on Jose and secure messaging and digital signatures, maybe we want to talk a bit about the strategy moving forward. So we have a number of potential paths forward. One of them is to basically, give up on the secure messaging stuff and go with Jose. That'll be the easiest way forward to a technical standard. The downsides being everything that Dave Longley and Chris McAvoy and Nate Otto have have raised, right? Which is, we're putting all this information in opaque blobs, and it's no longer just idiomatic JSON. JSON just becomes a blob storage format. It's very difficult to store this stuff in databases. All those kinds of issues. I'm sure Harry and the Jose group would love it if we went that direction, because there's no conflict on that path. The other approach is to back the secure messaging stuff and basically say, sorry, but this is what the group feels is the best technological solution. If Jose is the best technological solution, you're going to have to show us how we can solve these very real concerns that we have about making credentials and badges and identity into these opaque Base64 encoded blobs of information, right? I mean, if that is the wire format, we've basically got a binary wire format, and we're concerned that web developers are going to reject that, and we have some experience, at least in Badge Alliance, of that potentially happening. I'm not saying that is what happened, but for whatever reason, Jose wasn't picked up. So the question of the Jose group is, how have you guys gotten around this? There absolutely can be competing specifications at W3C and ITF, right? I think Harry's trying to make sure that doesn't happen. He is right that it really confuses the market when that happens. At some points, if groups don't listen to you, which I'm afraid that the Jose group is going to be increasingly resistant to any changes that we want to make to Jose. They were pretty resistant with our initial email in that they didn't do anything. They didn't change anything in Jose based on our review feedback of the Jose stack and specifications. So sometimes the only way to counter groups that are taking that position is to provide a counter example of a spec stack that competes with them. That's what happened with XHTML2 and HTML5. It's what happened with RDFA and microdata. The standards community is rife with this kind of stuff happening. It's also important to note that Jose and secure messaging don't have to fight with one another. For example, the Jose key format is a really good key format. We would much rather use that over PEM encoded binary blobs. So there are certain bits of Jose that we could reuse. And there are ways that we may be able to constrain the binary blobs to very specific fields. We may be able to just use the digital signature mechanism, the Base64, signing mechanism that Jose uses. So there are hybrid approaches that we could use here. So for example, we could say we would like to proceed with the secure messaging spec, but if for whatever reason that spec is shot down or it ends up failing or whatever, we have a plan B that uses Jose, and this is how it would work. Right. That is going to require quite a bit of work for us to come up with that plan. We looked at doing that before, and we got we got down the path far enough to feel like Jose was just not the right solution. But we could come up with a contingency plan for what happens if the secure messaging stuff fails. So those are the potential paths forward. Any thoughts on those paths forward that anyone has?
One thing I want to put out there is that the main differences that we're looking at with the two approaches, I'll start by saying what's going to be the same regardless is we need to have the RDF normalization algorithm. That's going to go forward regardless, because we need to be able to get a canonical serialization of an RDF graph or an RDF data set. So that's going to go forward regardless of whether we go with secure messaging or with Jose. So,
this is Eric. From a high level, why is that important? If you could do it in three sentences or less, what's the importance of the RDF normalization?
Linked data is about meaning, and linked data can be carried in a variety of different syntaxes across the web. The normalization algorithm lets you use any syntax to express the same meaning and the normalization algorithm will take the data from any syntax and make it look the same, so you can know that the meaning is exactly the same. It will effectively produce the blob that you don't actually have to interact with that will be digitally signed. Jose exposes that blob, that implementation detail, at the container level. The secure messaging spec hides that blob in the algorithm.
So, for example, the syntaxes that Dave Longley's mentioning, JSON-LD is one linked data syntax. There's a syntax called N-quads. There's another one called N-triples. There's another one called Turtle. There's another one called RDF-XML. All of these syntaxes use the same data model. It's a graph-based data model. So the graph normalization algorithm is a way of basically ordering that graph in a way that is compatible with all of these languages. And currently, the linked data stack at W3C does not have this algorithm. Right? Even if the Jose group and Harry don't care about that algorithm, there are many other companies at W3C that do care about it because they have no other alternative. Right? Their alternative is to basically take a Turtle document or N-quads, shove it in the Base64, and then use Jose to sign it. The problem with doing that is that signature is no longer compatible with, you know, if one person's using JSON-LD and another person's using Turtle, you get two signatures that are incompatible. Right?
You can't tell that the two graphs of information are the same graph. Can't tell how they're different or anything of that nature without this algorithm. So this algorithm makes comparing two data sets possible.
So I would argue that last point made by both of you is probably the most important piece of why that's important. You know, the technological reason of having the ability to have something that's common across all these different formats, I think, is one of those pros that probably wasn't listed out. You know, maybe we're getting down into the details, but when Manu first listed out the first pros and cons, that to me is a significant pro.
Right. Well, we actually did mention that in the discussion with Harry, and Harry did say he sees value in that, and that the RDF normalization algorithm sounds like something that would be useful to a variety of different groups, and that is something that should be standardized, or he was saying it would be of interest, which was his way of saying it should be standardized. So what I was trying to say was that is probably going to go forward. It's definitely needed, and there's not as much pushback on that. But that's just a piece of the whole signature puzzle. So that makes it possible for us to get a single serialization of linked data. And once we have that is, regardless of whether we go with Jose or we go with secure messaging, that's the piece of information that will be signed. So that's going to happen regardless. Once we produce a signature, this is where paths diverge. Once we produce a signature, we can either carry that signature across in JSON as linked data in JSON-LD, or we can carry that signature, we can transmit that signature using a Jose container. That's, just to be clear, that's where the main differences are. That's where our choices are.
Also keep in mind that if we serialize, if we use a graph normalization algorithm, I mean, it's what we're going to be signing is N-quads. And no web developer is – well, sorry, I don't want to say that. Web developers, it's an incredibly foreign format for web developers, right? They're going to, you know, even if they Base64 decode the signed Jose thing, they're just going to see N-quads on the screen. They're not going to see JSON-LD. And that's a big – I mean, that's a big problem.
Well, they have to run it through – they have to run it through two steps. They'll have to Base64 decode, and then they'll have to convert to JSON-LD. So there's these added – complexities that aren't there.
And they'll have to frame if there are multiple levels to the,
right,
to the JSON-LD object.
And that's if we take the Jose approach, and if we take the secure messaging approach, you just take the signature that was created from the algorithm and add a new property that has that signature in your document.
Which is essentially what we're doing now in our,
right,
in our APIs. Right.
Yes,
okay.
That's exactly what we do now.
And I'm referring to a credit trust, to be specific.
That's right. And that's how the secure messaging spec works. You're just adding a signature property that's defined by vocabulary, and you put the data for the signature into the document that goes along with what was signed, and you keep that data in its native format.
So at this point, I'm wondering if we are close to any sort of consensus or figuring out a path forward, or if people would like to chew on this for a week or two or three and figure out, you know, what they feel in their heart of hearts, what's the right approach forward. Again, I think what Dale said is one of the things Dale said is very important. We need to be pragmatic about this, right? I mean, we the last thing that we want is to end up in a permathread fight with the Jose working group, with W3C blocking the secure messaging stuff from going forward. We can get around that if we have enough organizations saying that they want to try out the secure messaging spec, that they know that Jose exists and the secure messaging spec exists, and, you know, maybe Jose is great for the stuff that IETF wanted it for, which was OpenID, but maybe the linked data folks want a different mechanism, right? It doesn't really work well for the linked data folks, and especially the folks that want to use JSON-LD for web development. We're running out of time for the call today. Are there any closing thoughts on this? Is there a direction that any of you would definitely want to take, or any particular path that you'd like us to focus on?
So this is Brian again. I think we're not doing the spirit of the community group justice if we just roll over and say, okay, never mind, we'll just use Jose. That being said, I think having a contingency plan is also a requirement. So I think pushing forward with explaining the values, coming up with more examples, you know, whatever is needed to vet the ideas and to present them further, but also a plan to try to reuse Jose as necessary with this hybrid approach. I think that's something that we have to do as well. Because, again, everything else that's going on in this group, I would not want to get blocked by this point. But I think we also need to take the technical considerations that we have identified and kind of push forward with those as well.
This is Eric. I agree with Brian's initial comment. The second part, I'm not sure if I totally agree. I think that if we, I would tend to want to take more of a firm stance on our position because it shows our commitment towards the technology, and may the best technology, you know, support the need or the use case. If we start to co-develop work that says, well, our fallback is Jose, I think that's just going to lead the WC3, if they have to make a decision, they're going to say, that would lead them to say, well, there's the crack in the armor, you could do it, so why don't you just do it now? I don't know. That's just and that's a political answer. That's not necessarily a technical answer.
I think another thing we could say is if the secure messaging spec is not going to go forward, this is just linked data. We can always just put a vocabulary out there that says this is how you attach a signature that was on the normalized data, which is a spec that we think will go forward. This is how you attach a signature on the normalized data to a linked data document. That, at a minimum, is effectively what secure messaging really does anyway. And that the linked data is designed to be decentralized, and you just work with a vocabulary that you find out there that has certain meaning. We can still create messages that just work that way, and that could just be the way forward without having an official stamp on it. That's how you transmit these signatures on linked data.
To me, I think that's a better fallback position than saying, you know, then we'll just do Jose, because then it's just left back in the developer's lap in a way to solve the problem.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess I would push back on that and say, well, why the hell are we even talking about secure messaging then? If it is that simple, you know, so that could be their position. I mean, and I'm fine with that as a backup plan, right? I'm just saying I think we need a backup plan, and if that's the backup plan, then that's fine.
Well, I think sort of that backup plan sort of highlights how there shouldn't be as much pushback on the spec as there is. I think maybe it would help to be more clear that the secure messaging spec is specifically for linked data. And there is no good linked data solution for digital signing right now. And it requires these other pieces that will need to be standardized. And then secure messaging just throws up a vocabulary for how to express those signatures once the normalized data has been signed. Perhaps the Jose group would see it as less of a threat if they saw it that way.
The name of it is apparently a point of contention as well. So, I mean,
we should certainly just change the name to eliminate that. I think that's just kind of a silly thing. So let's come up with a better name and avoid that problem entirely.
I think that could help deflate some of the pushback.
Yeah, especially.
So, Dave, Eric Corr speaking. The question then is, let's flip it around. Assuming we came first and had secure messaging in place, is there anything that is not, because you've made a comment that it's meant for linked data, but so does that not mean it can work for OpenID? So in the use case that they're trying to use? So I hope the answer to that is no, it can work with OpenID.
It can be made to work with OpenID. When you're using linked data, you want to map your properties in your JSON to URLs. You can always do that. You can always go in and create a context that makes that happen. So you can do that, and that's really the way that you should probably go about working with data if you're out on the web, because the web is all about linked data. But the one argument could be this, that Jose is just a container for a signed blob of information, and that container happens to use the JSON syntax. That's really what Jose is about. You wouldn't even have to be signing. You don't have to sign JSON data. You just sign you take some data, you convert it into a base64 blob, and then you sign that piece of information. And what we're talking about, the signatures we're talking about is we're trying to compare meaning between a variety of different syntaxes. We don't really care how you express the data, because the algorithm finds a way to make sure two pieces of data have the same meaning.
Yeah, so to be specific, with the secure messaging stuff, you're digitally signing the meaning. With the Jose stuff, you're digitally signing a binary blob.
Now, just to clarify further, you're always signing a blob, but the blob that you're signing is with secure messaging is a normalized blob of information, and that is not exposed to developers. You don't see that blob. It doesn't bubble up to the level where it's in your document. In order to produce a digital signature, you always have to have a serialization. That's a technical requirement. It just doesn't work without something to apply the signature algorithm to. But you can take, with Jose, you have to take the exact same blob and give that blob to someone else for them to check it, and the data has to remain as that blob in order to be able to continue to verify that signature. With secure messaging, the data can be transformed into a variety of different syntaxes and passed all around the web, and as long as you feed it into the RDF normalization algorithm, that data will be transformed back into that blob that can be checked.
Did that help
for
him?
Does that require? I know we're coming to the end of the hour. So just a last follow-up question. So, does it require that all the people who are working, assuming Jose did not exist, and the social web group needed a signature, would that, does that require them to then communicate in a format of JSON-LD?
It requires them to use linked data, which is in their charter as something to explore.
Okay.
Well, they've already made the decision to use JSON-LD. They're just not they're not mandating its use. Basically, everything that the social web group is doing can be there exists a JSON-LD context to convert every single one of their messages into JSON-LD. So they're so close to using JSON-LD as a must requirement, but they have a couple of members in their group that just don't want to do that for a variety of different reasons. I mean, some of them is that they just hate the semantic web and they think it's a complete waste of time and they don't think linked data is useful, and they're just trying to catch up with Twitter and Facebook and Google+, right, who all have JSON APIs. The other members in the group want to see JSON-LD in there because they see the value add that it has and all that kind of stuff. But, Eric, to answer your question more directly, if Jose didn't exist and they decided they needed to digitally sign something, they would probably end up using the secure messaging thing if we had a standard already, right? This is one of the other problems with Harry's, you know, line of argumentation. He's saying, well, Jose has first mover advantage, so we have to pick that. And the response to that is, no, you actually don't. You have to pick the best technology for the task at hand. That it already exists as a stamped standard is good. And by the way, I don't think the Jose stack is official yet. It's not an official
standard. As far as I can tell, it's still in a draft.
Yes.
All four JWS specs.
Right, exactly. So this whole idea that Jose is an international standard, baked international standard, as far as we can tell, is completely false. It's probably going to be one in the next year or year and a half or 2 years, but that could also be true for the secure messaging spec. Okay, we're well past the time. Go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify. However, there is an official working group in the IETF working on Jose. The secure messaging spec is still at the community group level at W3C.
Yep. That's a big disadvantage for us. Okay, we're out of time. I think the discussion has been good. Hopefully we can move some of this stuff to the mailing list. I think next step might be showing people a couple of examples on the potential future direction that this stuff could take, so we could come up with, you know, this is what a credential looks like in Jose, maybe reuse some of the Badge Alliance work for that. We could say this is what a credential looks like in secure messaging. And then, you know, these are the hybrid approaches, and these are the pros and cons for each hybrid approach. So we could do that. The other thing that we may want to do is start, once we have that done, we're probably going to want to start more directly engaging the Jose group to see how much pushback there is on the ideas we have and to see if they would want to integrate this stuff into Jose. Eric asked a question in IRC, what does it take to become a working group? You need 20 companies to agree that your specification is worth working on. Not worth taking to a rec, but worth creating a technical working group to basically work on the spec. So if we can get 20 companies to sign on, and I've already got 10, then we're in good shape.
That's 20 member work companies.
20 member companies, yep. 20 member companies have to vote in favor of it. And it really helps if you have a spec that's ready to go. And we have, you know, we have a spec that's about 80% of the way to ready to go. Okay.
So we should probably get a, if we can, get that list of tally of your 10 and other people here who are members who are or about to become members that could get to that 20. I don't know. That would be something I'd like to follow up on.
Okay. Let's continue to discuss this over the mailing list, and hopefully we can come up with some examples on what this stuff actually looks like, because I know it can be a fire hose of information and hard to follow for those that have not worked with this technology before. So maybe we can get some examples up there to show people what it looks like. Okay, thanks everyone for the call. If you're in the States, happy Thanksgiving. If you're not in the States, look forward to...
Happy Thursday.
Yeah, happy Thursday. Look forward to not communicating with your American counterparts, And we'll talk again next week, same bat time, same bat channel.
I won't be able to make next week, but I'll be fine after that. So.
Okay, great.
Right, thanks.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.